the holes that we should have covered in when we were planning the land claims. We should have put a stop in there somewhere where the stock could only be inherited by a descendant of an Otna native. But we didn't. And so in time, a lot of the people that were married to non-natives will inherit that stock and become shareholders in our corporation. And there is another reason why the young people, you that have children and young enough to talk to them, not to sell their land, not to sell their stock. Because in time, if enough stock is sold in a village, it could be taken over by non-natives and they could move you out. So the land claims, while it did a lot of things, and as far as going back, a lot of people say, well, we ought to go back the way it used to be. And I'm saying, no, thank you. And I'm sure I'd have a lot of other people with me that would say, it's fine to keep our traditions and things like that. But to go back to the way it was 60 and 70 years ago, no, thank you. We can still be Indians. We can still keep our traditions. But we must go forward. That's the way the whole world revolves. And again, I would like to say that to keep trust in your regional corporation, these are your own people. I'm on that board, and I don't want you to think for 1 minute that I would steal from you. So keep your trust in the people. If you cannot trust your own people, who in the world are you going to trust? And that's about all I have to say today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brunswick. Benwick.
I'm back again, Basili Jackson. This is supposed to have been a seems like everybody's talking to each other direct instead of testimony. I think that's designed for to tell the commissioner what we feel about this Otna, how what it does, and what it's not doing. Seems like we're just talking direct to each other or else bawling each other out. That's what I meant when I first came up. There's a conflict right within us. It's just like down the Arab, when some white man comes into to this Arab country, big war starts. At all it did, this land claim is the Indians will, it's my prediction, the Indians, natives, will be fighting each other, and the white men will be watching over us and say, oh boy, look at that. That's what they do down in the Arab country. And then I predict that there will be another land claim argument between a traditional council and a corporations, regional corporations. That's my feeling. I'm looking at something. Great things gonna happen between a regional and a village traditional council. Anybody see that?
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
My name is Donald Johns. And I'm 37 years old, born and raised in the Copper River area. I am employed with the the Copper River Native Association for the past year and a half. Excuse me. And I am an Atna shareholder. I am working now as an intake specialist for the Copper River Native Association as in higher education and social studies, social service and agriculture. I went to high school here during the year 1960s, in the 60s. And during this time, the schools wasn't as big as it is now, where we didn't have any problems in our schools. And we got along with the white people, we got along with the anyone that's in our school. And it seemed like during the years when the native land claims came through, things changed drastically. We had prejudice in our schools, and our native students were dropping out because we were outnumbered. And rather than staying and fight the system, they were dropping out of school. And for years now that I've been here, I've seen a lot of young people drop out of school. And this is one thing that land claims did to us, because it we were being prejudiced at for our land and the money we got. And my hopes is one day that we will educate our kids ourselves, where we don't have to go into the schools where there's prejudice. And we really need the education for our young people. And that's this only thing I will testify on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johns.
I have one additional comment, and that's the monetary settlement of land claims, in my opinion, was much too small to do the tremendous amount of work, the education of the native people that the settlement was supposed to benefit. Especially our small corporation, Otna, has only 1,000 or so shareholders here. It covers, I don't know how many miles along the highway. To go back and forth to the villages and hold meetings, we learned cost money. It took hire experts to assist us, cost a lot of money. I think that as far as monetary settlement goes, it was way too small to do the job effectively for the regional corporations to protect our lands. Far too small. We need policing up and down the roads, as you can see here. We can't watch our land. Our land is all along the highways here, a couple miles off the road, some way out there, 10, 15 miles out. We can't be watching the patrolling these lands. I think that the government should have been there responsible for educating the rights of the maybe through BIA. I think that should have been done at, you know, sort of overlooked at the time. Everybody was so excited about getting this claim settled. It was so, I think it was emphasized many times during Anchorage hearing that we're at the right time, and the time is ripe to settle the claims. And after a long struggle in some areas, in our areas also, we wanted to settle it. And we did make a lot of compromises in the bill, such as the D2 which affected a further legislation later. Which, I don't know if it was detrimental to us, but it was just stuck in there, and we didn't know a little about D2. We didn't study that section too much, but it did have an effect, later effect. There are many small things that you know, they were overlooked, but I think overall it was more positive than negative. I think it benefited a lot of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Elon.
I'm Clarence McConkie, and I'd like to speak again. I can see a lot of things here that's not understood by the state of Alaska and federal government, in that they say we must set lands aside for our future generations. We must take care of the resources, but then there's nothing done to replenish the resources that are used. One of the major resources I'm talking about is our moose, our caribou, the fox, the little animals. Rabbits, they're pretty procreational, so we don't have to worry too much about rabbits and things. But our moose population and our caribou population, these things here are not being taken care of, and the federal government has 20 million acres, 30 million acres here and there tied up. And the state government also has major lands that are tied up and are not being used by the people. And there's people down in the south that can have cow ranches, they can have pig ranches, they can have all kinds of ranches. But they're not putting anything back into the land. They just sell these items. Whereas up here, we're not even allowed to start a moose ranch or a caribou ranch or do the things that we'd like to see done. If they'd allow moose ranches and caribou ranches to start and put these animals back onto the land in different parts of the land and say that, well, for every three that you raise, you can have one for commercial use, and to subsidize programs like these. Rather than do this, they'd like to see us maybe live off of food stamps, or they'd like to see us live off of AFDC, giving us no alternative in the way that we live, except that, of course, that they have picked for us. These are things that the ANSCA law hasn't looked at. There are answers out there to most of the problems that we have, are educational and otherwise, that should be taken care of. And it's good to have public schools, but it's bad the way that they're operated, and that we don't involve our own students in the running of their school. And this isn't only a Native problem. This is a non-Native problem. In Alaska, there's a lot of land out there, but we don't see anything coming back into the area from the state of Alaska to help the people that live on the land. We see a lot of it going to Anchorage and centralized areas like this where they have a majority vote. But then the share that belongs to these regions doesn't come back to them and help in their education or in their hunting procedures. If we wanted to cut down on the way people hunted, I heard mentioned before the use of vehicles. Well, why don't we take their vehicles away from them? If they want to hunt, let them hunt on foot. What better way is there to count the resources? If a family needs meat, why give them food stamps? Let them go out there and get a moose, or let them go out and get a caribou, and think of ways to replenish that resource rather than thinking of ways to cut down on the privileges of the people. The land does belong to the people, but when you start taking the privileges away, then sooner or later you run into a barrier, and then there is a revolution. It might not be with guns, but there will be problems. They'll create problems, bigger problems we got now, because we slowly see the land deteriorating around us, and there's no replenishment of that land. And it's moose dung, I think, that's most nutritional to the land, that helps it grow more. And it's just like the wolf. We say the wolf is useless, but they clean up. They keep the land clean and free of a lot of diseases by eating the carrion, by not allowing a lot of things to happen that could, that would proceed out of these things. That's about all I got to say on that.
Yeah, I like.
Oh. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. McCaughey.
I'm Hector Ewan again. I like to make one point. I don't know very much about this, but I know there's a section in there that says 70-30. I know them old people don't understand this, 70-30. What it does is whatever is under the ground, gold or oil or whatever it is, it belongs to the other region as well as ours. We get 30%, so that 70 goes to the other people. That same as theirs. I don't understand. I think they went to court for it. Roy might answer that question. I never kept up with the outcome on that gravel and all that stuff, but I know it went to court. It was some other region what they try to get out of that. But why I say this is ours is a gravel region. And if we sell the gravel, we have to give the 70% to them, which is poor choice to us. We're going to go broke at that rate, you know. They ask us, why did you give me gravel? Well, I can't afford to do that. You got to pay, I don't know how much a yard or something. That's their own, all right, but they still have to pay by the yard. That's a 70-30. You got to give the other region 70%. You make a dollar, that means you gave 70 cents to the other region. And 30 cents the soul stays without. I don't know, very many people, I know that went to court, but I didn't know the outcome. Maybe some are still in court. But I know in my region, that's a lot of people ask, how come my road don't get fixed? Man, if you put up 50 cents a yard, sure you'll probably get fixed. You got to buy your own. That's the way the thing was written. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ewan.
Hi, Evelyn Pete again. Hector Ewan always keeps bringing up things that I should have been remembering when I was talking before. And one of them was that 7I agreement, that 70-30 split amongst the regions. And where I felt that was wrong is that all the regional corporations got together and said that they own the subsurface. And they say that each village corporation or each village council have no rights to their gold, silver. We have all kinds of minerals in this area. That copper that they took out of Kennecott Mine was nothing, one drop of water in a bucket compared to what we have here. But we use the subsurface in our villages. In our old ways, we used it. We had they used to keep berries next to the permafrost. My grandmother told me that when they went up to Paxson Way and up that way, they used to dig a cache underground right to the ice. And then that way put some kind of flag or some kind of pole or something to show that place again. Because they were traveling, they couldn't carry the berries back and they would spoil. That was one way they had of storing it. They just take enough to use for a while and then go back to that spot when they went trapping. Usually was along their trap line. But what I say is that we never gave up our subsurface rights. And each village still owns it, as far as I'm concerned, because that issue wasn't decided with the input from the villages all throughout Alaska. That was decided by the regional corporations. And, you know, the villages can't get together and cut out the regional corporations from things, I'm sure. And the villages don't have the money that the regional corporations had to lobby, to hire lawyers, to get these things away. But I say that they have no right to these subsurface or the surface or the water rights, the oil rights, gas rights, and not those navigable water things that the state has tried to put on us in the United States government. We traveled up and down this river. My great-grandfather went from Chitna to Cordova in a canoe. And they went all the way up from Intasta down, I've heard. These rivers were our roads. And later, they got trails and things. Wintertime dog trails became major trails. Now they're the highways. Most of them follow along those old trails. Because Indians know the land. We know this land. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, their parents, their parents before them. It's nothing we just came about like me. I just came about it recently. It's nothing I just came about recently. The use and the occupancy and the dominion of this land have been carried on in hundreds of generations before me. Our history says that we have seen two ice ages. Using our history, we can date back, and geological data can date back some of the things that have happened in the past to about 40,000 years ago. There was a freshwater lake that they were talking about that the oil companies discovered when they were drilling for oil that was formed about 40,000 years ago, 43,000 years ago. And if we carbon date some of our things, I think we'd find we never played the numbers game, what we call the numbers game. This is going on all throughout Alaska. We didn't mess up the land when we lived here. These highways are all new. They've only been here. This highway was paved in 1953. It's in my lifetime. We didn't do those things to the land. You don't have to abuse the land just to show proof of ownership. Our belief is that the animals have the right of way. Animals have all the right of way along any of the waters. Indians don't build their houses by the water. You can see that anywhere. There's always a space between the water and the Indian's house. Because the animals have to be free to go down to travel through or drink the water. And they have to be treated with respect. So I say that we really never gave up those rights, subsurface and surface rights. Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I can tell you a little bit.
Well, please do. Please do, Mr. McKinley.
I don't know hard time. I never see one yet. Hard time, you know. I never see one yet. My daddy tell me he had about 3-4 times he had a hard time. That's what they told me. When my life, when I born, I was born 1899, see. Just think about you people right here. 1899 I born, see. And after 5 years, and I think I know that much, I think. And all that thing, see. And I never see a hard time, though, nothing. Never see. Okay, the land you're talking about, I don't want to talk about land. I want to, the old people who living around here, that's the one I'm going to tell about it. You see, before they started, when I was a man, I said there's never a hard time. But they all take care of themselves. Take care of themselves. That's why they had chief everywhere, see. Our Chief Nikolai, he's my time. And Chief Douglas and all others, and from my grandpa, all others, they've been taking care of all this across the river and places. All they take care of themselves. See. They care land. They care where they're going hunting. They care that place there, across the river, everywhere. Not only us, but all the way up in the line like that. You see, we don't have a hard time. Now, 1910 was the law passed, see. Law passed in the Valdez. It was Guinn law. We don't know about Guinn law. We don't know about law, one thing, you know. All of a sudden, Guinn warden come around there, they tell us, you do this, you do that, you do this and that, they tell us, you know. Or we just get stuck there and we know what we're going to do, you know. You don't kill caribou, don't kill moose no more, and don't think no more, and all that, you know. That's the one got us, you know, that the law. The law, he's the one got us, you know. All the way through, see. You want a little bit, listen, that's good, see. He's the one that law, see. Got us all animal, everything just gone, see, nothing. Then some native, he don't want to trap and he don't want to do this and he don't want it. He there's never seen before like that, see, that's why, you know, he quit. I think they quit, I think, that time. That's what I think. So nobody trapping, nobody went out. When I was young there, all the way through, trap, what, like that, just trapping like that, you know. That's what I see myself, see. You see, it's our own fault, I think, that we had a trouble, I think. I been down Colorado one time. I talked to the neighborhood down there. What you fellas doing you around here, I tell them. Well, I talk about land. What you doing that you land? You know, oh, pretty bad. You know what he gonna do to you? No. Pretty soon he plow you up, doze you up like that, go on top the mountain. That's where you're gonna stay there. You look at down there, what they doing, see. That's what we do now, he said. That's what they tell me, see. That's why I told that. Never been meeting, never they call me. Just the other day, I think not very long ago, one guy told me here, you the one gonna be our daddy, he tell me. Well, I'll be glad I heard that, see. I heard that's a meeting I was here, see. Well, I gonna be meeting every other time, I guess, I think, you know. I stay down there, down to where I live, and that's where I stay every year, see. Land clearing going on, everything's going on. I don't know, see, what's going to be. And I got 160 acres land up there. I wrote letter. No, there's no title. They're still there yet, see. Still there yet, that title, see.
You see, it's hard for us. This judicial side, I think man can live in good. That's what I think. But this land claim, it's hard. Where are we going to stay now, you think? All you people right here now, got a couple center right here. Where are you going to stay? Pipeline just go across right here, see? He pushed you down to the Copper River. Okay, there's another one. I hear road going to be passed, bypass going to be around there someplace too, he said. Some more he pushed you down there. Now, where are you going to fishing? What land are you talking about, see? I don't know. So he just push you out someplace there. You don't know where you was. That's what he's going to do to you, see? That's what I think myself, see? I know I've been born here, and I was about 85 pretty soon, see? 85 years old pretty soon. Just not a 15 days more, see? You see, I look at it, people. I look at it, this young people. Land clean is good to be passed, one thing, and got to be educated on top. That's the better, you know. So some guy is going to jump right off. Oh, I lost my school. I don't like that. I really don't like that. And that's not a pass, that pipeline. That time, you know, nobody asked me. I said, what do you think? You're the oldest one here. What do you think? Nobody said nothing. Now he went past there, see? Now another one going to pass there. What are we going to do? See? What are we going to do? We don't know. And I like to tell you all about it, the judicial side. I know all about it, what people doing here. Now look here, that Slate Creek Mine. Hundreds of million dollars he took it out there, see? All this Creek Mine, see? This is all our money, I think, myself, see? That's what Slate Creek, not $100 million, maybe more than that, they take it out there. It's all gone to Washington, see? And then tax, and then our fish tax, fur, all kinds of tax. Where that money going? It's going back to the Washington, see? What he do, what people doing to us, I think myself, there's nothing, you know. What people giving to us back here, we think that's big, you know. I never think about that, nothing. Either, all along that Valdez Creek, never been paid that one too, see. You see? That's what I feel myself, see. I'm the old man here in this area now, see. Nobody, see. That's what I think. This much I going to tell you, I don't want to let you know anything some more yet, but I going to tell about my people here, see what they're going to do. Pretty soon I've been gone to. I'm 85 years old now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yes?
I'd like to enlighten Jim on some things. Jim, on your allotment land at the lake.
Yes, please. Enlighten us all.
Yes, Jim, on your allotment land at the lake, don't worry about that. They surveyed that last year. They surveyed my land, and I filed yours at the same time, you remember. They said that we should get the title to, or not the title, but the patent to it this fall. And as far as the road bypass here, Jim, that was at the request of a lot of the village people here for the safety of our own people, so that it will leave the village here sort of off of the main highway. That's why that was changed. And as for the pipeline going through the Otna region, my dear, we are getting money from that, and that's some of the dividend that you get every year. Some of that is coming off the pipeline, the money that we're making off of that. So we will try to keep you informed of everything the best we can. Okay?
Thank you, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say something about the pipeline, too, itself. Evelyn Pete again. They took about $195 billion of oil through that pipeline up to last year. And out of that, Aetna made an agreement and won about $12 million, plus maybe 20 to 25 of our people have permanent jobs with Alyeska. And the dividends we get are $100 or $200 a year, depending on where you live. Now that's not going to help these old people. And I think Hector's right, I'll back him up on that, that the old people should be given a cash settlement that they can spend now and enjoy now. And I'd like to see that in your recommendation to Congress or to whoever, whomever. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've had a good discussion this afternoon, and we're going to be able to return this evening. Anyone else want to speak before we adjourn this afternoon? Yes, Mrs. Brenwick. Yes, please, and just to take a seat and. Because that's something
I've
I'd like
been
to
giving
hear.
That a lot of thought about the afterborns being able to get stock in a corporation. And it occurred to me as I was driving here, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, there's some people that have inherited quite a bit of stock so that at voting time they carry quite a vote because they have so many hundreds, you know, of stocks. And I was thinking if there was some way we could decide, of course we'd have to decide amongst ourselves, nobody feels bad about this, that in an inheritance, especially I know of one party I'm not going to name, that has inherited stock from about four people. And he has no heirs. And I feel that that stock, I think that if when you inherit stock, it should be limited, and then the rest should go back into the corporation and distributed amongst the afterborns. I don't know if this would be agreeable with everyone, but it was a thought.
Thank you, Mrs. Brenwick. Yeah, Mr. McConkie.
On the stock issue, I'd like to make mention of something. 1991 is coming up, and it's not very far off, and there's some things that we should know about the stock issue, and that is after 1991, there's no more bonds on the corporation, and they can openly sell stock on the stock market. This is something that a lot of people don't know. Is that, let's say that after 1991, sure, we have our own existing stock, but there can be additional stock sold in the company. And this is something that people don't know. And this is something that people should be watching for, because it could happen. And it could very well undermine the very corporations themselves. And it is the most destructive piece that there is to for the corporations to face. As corporations, is that very fact that stock can be sold on the open market after 1991.
Thank you, Mr. McConkie.
I'd like to say something. Is this thing working?
Yeah, sure it does, Mr.
McConkie. I think there's about three corporations represented here. It's not only Aetna. It's they speak for themselves. It's the same as us. But, talking about stocks, the older people don't even know what stock is. They sign it away just like that's just paper. It's nothing. Well, if this, what Lucy said, if this one person get it, how would they handle it? They don't know how to handle themselves now. This is going to be another problem to us. The young kids get it, all them stocks, they could outvote us. They'll have more power than our own, so they wouldn't know which way to vote it. And that's a voting power there too, also. Right now they don't know how to vote. It's one thing that concerns me awfully bad. That's why I say I like to see them well it back into the village and their kin and make sure that village is or somebody's in control of it, not the kids. Man, if we get the kids another 20 years, that'd be all ruined. That'd be our work is for none. Thank you.
Yes, Mrs. Brenwick.
Hector, I think you're a little bit disappointed. A miner, I believe now, that has stopped must be at least 18 years old in order to vote. And the guardian, even as we have now, I imagine that for the afterborn, if we should ever arrive at some feasible problem like that, we'd certainly appoint guardian until that person becomes of age.
No, I mean
1991. Well, at 1991 then. Right, well, your afterborn is any time after 71, which is still going on. Someone born today is an afterborn, you know.
Yeah. Anybody born after today
is 71 is an afterborn.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
My name is Harry Jones. Live in Copper Center. I was born here in Copper Center. Your Honor, I hear a lot of the testimonies to hear today. I enjoy the testimonies as much as others. But this I'd like to say, I was going to make a long testimony here about the beginning of 1910 from I was born in 1909 and up till 1941 when the natives used to live off the country and up until the road came into this country here, I might say that as natives used to live off the country like they said here today. And then finally the road system came in here and without us natives helping on this road system, they would have a hard time putting the road through here. There was, after 1920, the native was hired out to by the federal was hired out as to brush cut and make big digging ditches and everything, and we wasn't getting too much money for it. But and then we was discriminated right with the work as we worked, because they didn't let us work eat at the same place where the non-natives at, and then we had to live in our own camps, and that was discrimination. But yet we got to learn to work with our hands, using shovels and axe during that time. And then, that passed. And we got into the Department of State Department. That came up in 1960 when the state took over from the federal. We went to work, we was working with the Alaska State Department on the construction out on the highways. There they started treating us different than what they did before. We can go out and camp and live in the same place where the non-natives used to live. That was all right. I think that we was getting up in style and we was doing what the non-natives was doing. Okay, that shows that we worked
with our hands and with the people. Again, after the state took over, there's a change in that, during that time, during this time. We have to join the union to work with the road system here. And that's the only jobs that we had here, is the highway building. And a lot of us did that. We have to join unions, and we have to be a skilled workers before we could be hired. And right now, the things why I brought this up is because there at the beginning, we was, I said we was discriminating, but then we was like slaves, go out there and do the work for them. There was only a few non-natives that time working. And here when the highways was built, the people from South 48 was coming up here and started taking over everything. Our native people was let out of the work. We couldn't give. Right now, there's very few working for the Department of Highways in this area, the native people, and I guess it's all over like that. I can't speak for other corporations, but I'd like to speak for my own corporation, because I don't know what the other corporation is going to do and what they decide to do in 1991. And I think that we're right now in this part of Alaska, South Central Alaska, where we are now, we're going to have a still hard time of getting the jobs for our young people, unless we put on our own construction in this area, out of this native land settlement, this money that we have, if we can get the contracts and go out our own, we might get along. But outside...